God would help us. It's always good to see you. Good to see my friends from Johnson County here, and I appreciate it. I was telling Brother Brian, I said, every time I look at him and think about his daddy, his dad and mom were members of our church, and his daddy was one of those men that every church needs in their congregation. Matter of fact, at his funeral, Brother Calvin Sargent never held a position in the church. He didn't sing in the choir. He never taught a Sunday school class. He never did anything like that. But I told him at his funeral, I said, the best I can count, it's going to take about 10 people to replace him. Because Brother Calvin Sargent did more to invite people to the house of God. I remember going down to the church one day, just during the middle of the week, to do something. And I looked and there was a Sarge down in the parking lot. And I said, Sarge, what are you doing? He said, I'm down here picking up trash. And some trash had been thrown out. And he was down there in the parking lot. He would call. And this is what I love about Brother Calvin Sargent. He loved his pastor's wife, too. A lot of people don't think about the preacher's wife. But Brother Calvin would call my wife, how's my preacher's wife doing? And he would encourage you. He said, I just want you to know I love you and thank God for you. And he'll never know. When I get to heaven, I'll be able to tell him what that meant to me, that he thought about my wife, and he would call her and say, that's my preacher's wife, he'd say. And he was so proud of Miss Linda. She loved him too. And so every time I see them, I think of them and some good, precious memories God has given us. If you have your Bible, turn with me tonight to the book of Habakkuk. And there's three chapters in this little book. And I want to give you just a simple thought tonight. And I won't be long before you. Habakkuk chapter number one. I'm going to read two verses. And then I'm going to read in chapter two and chapter three. They're simply three little chapters in the book of Habakkuk. Chapter number one, I'll begin reading tonight in verse number one. And the Bible says this in Habakkuk chapter number one and verse number one. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? I want you to notice that exclamation mark. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. There's another exclamation mark. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now chapter 3, please. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts here in this place. We thank you for the warm fellowship we've had this week. Lord, we thank you for these precious people. We love them, Lord, and we ask you now that you'd help us. Give us something as we leave on this final night of meeting, God, that you'd give us something to take with us that would encourage us and help us in the days ahead. And Father, we ask you just to meet every need that might be in the building tonight. And Lord, we're going to give you praise for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the book of Habakkuk, we have the prophet speaking, and if you study the book of Habakkuk, the little book, the main theme of this book and the overlying theme is the mysteries of God's providence, or the waiting for the purposes of God to be fulfilled. Sometimes that is one of the hardest things you'll ever do as a child of God, is waiting to see what God is going to say or what God is going to do in the situations of life. Habakkuk here, in these verses that I've read, in each little chapter, you see in chapter number one, and the Bible says this, it starts off with the burden of Habakkuk, and it says this, he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Have you ever felt like that you've begged God, and you've prayed, and you've asked God, and it seems like God has not heard you, that your prayer has fallen on deaf ears? Habakkuk felt like that. He's very passionate. He's a burden by this situation. And he said, even crying to thee out of violence, and thou wilt not save. Habakkuk is looking over the land. He sees violence that's gone unchecked and sin that is running rampant. Even among God's people, you find out if you read this whole book and in this chapter, you find that God begins to speak to Habakkuk about how he's even going to deal with his own people using the hand of the cruel Chaldeans. And God is getting ready to execute a judgment even upon his own people for their backsliding and for their error, for their sin. And Habakkuk here is grieved by what he sees. And you think about that. He's wearied here in chapter number one. But chapter number two, we find him watching. And you look in verse one, it says, I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. You see, there's no shortage of people today that want God to speak to them. But you see, the thing about it is Habakkuk understood this. If God speaks, he expects a response from you. Habakkuk said, I'm going to wait to see what he's going to say and then how I shall answer him when I'm reproved. A lot of people don't understand that when God is speaking to you, he's expecting you to respond. He's in chapter 2, he's watching. And then in chapter 3, we find him wishing, I guess you'd say. He's asking the Lord. God has already told him, I'm going to send judgment. And he says this. He says, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. He said, God, I know things are bad and I know you're going to bring judgment. And I understand, God, you're correcting your people. But said, in the midst of all of your wrath and in the midst of all the judgment, would you remember mercy? And God, would you just send a revival to your people in the midst of the years? I begin to think about that. I'm preaching on this subject, on some things to remember while you're waiting to see God move. I begin to think about that. In chapter number 2, Habakkuk uses an unusual terminology. In chapter number 2, he makes this statement when he's watching. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. He said, in Bible days, if you studied the tower, many times on the wall cities, they would have a tower. It would be a lookout tower, if you will. And the tower was a place where they could look out on the horizon. They could see an advancing enemy. They could see friendly forces bringing in much needed supplies and nourishment. So the tower was a place of prominence in the ancient days. Matter of fact, many times those who had vast vineyards would build a tower in the midst of them. That way they could climb up, they could watch over their workers, they could see animals that might be destroying the crops. And so the tower was a very important place in the Bible days. Matter of fact, the tower in the scriptures was a symbol of strength, of visibility, and of protection. And so Habakkuk now is saying in chapter number 2, he said, God, I've cried out to you and I've begged you and you've not answered. But he said in chapter 2, he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch and I'm going to set me in the tower and I'm going to wait to see what you're going to say and how I will respond. Now begin to think about that idea of getting up in the tower. I want to give you three things tonight. When you're thinking about God speaking and God answering a prayer, how to not get weary and what you need to remember while you're waiting on him to speak. Number one, I'll give you this tonight. You're going to have to learn, if you're waiting on God to move, you're going to have to learn, first of all, how to change your outlook. Habakkuk, in this passage, if you see him in chapter 1, he's down among the people. He sees violence and sin on every hand. He's grieved by what he sees. He's burdened by what he sees. He's wearied by what he sees in chapter number 1. And I don't know about you, but if it don't weary you when you look around in our world today, if it don't burden you when you see how things are today and how lost people are going about their way and it seems like there's no conviction today of sin anywhere, it is something that ought to weary all of us. And I'm going to be honest with you, we're the generation and culture today. And I try not to be too hard on us because we're the only ones that made it this far. And let me tell you something, there's previous generations of Christians that never had to face some of the things we're facing. They weren't constantly bombarded on every side by social media and all of the things that we have to face today. They weren't bombarded 24/7 with all of this stuff. It wasn't shoved in their faces. It wasn't. And boy, I tell you, you can get wearied by the culture that we live in today. Matter of fact, it becomes overwhelming. You every now and then, you just got to unplug from it. You got to somehow or another just check out of it for just a little while, or you won't keep your sanity. But Habakkuk is down among the fray, and he's burdened. He's crying out to God, saying, "How long, Lord, am I going to ask you to do this, and you're not going to hear?" And God, even crying, he said, "God, I'm crying. There's violence here, and there's things going on that needs to be taken care of, God. And why aren't you doing anything?" But in chapter 2, Habakkuk understood this. He's wore out by what he sees. He's wearied by what he sees. But then in chapter 2, he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch and I'll set me in the tower. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, I'm going to learn how to change my outlook. Everything looks bad down here, but let me climb up in the tower and see how things look from that vantage point. Can I say to you, praise God, there's times that Habakkuk is learned here that he needs to elevate his stand. He needs to elevate his self in the place that only you can go, and that's a place of prayer. I thought about Habakkuk. He's talking about the tower now. In the tower, things look much different up there than they do down there. Matter of fact, you get a more long-range view in the tower. You don't just look in the moment. You don't look at the chaos around you. You don't look at all that, but you're looking farther down the road when you're sitting in the tower. I don't know about you, but I remember as a kid up there in Johnson County where we live, up in Neva area up there, up on the mountain, there used to be a fire tower that they had up there. And us kids, I had an uncle, he'd get a bunch of us kids together on a Sunday afternoon, throw a watermelon in the back of the vehicle, and we'd head up to the fire tower. And that thing always intrigued me. It was so high. I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid of heights. I don't like heights, but that always intrigued me, because even there on the ground, you could see a long ways, and I can't imagine how far you could see in the top of that tower. Here at Habakkuk is, he said, you know what? I'm going to stand upon my watch. He said, everything looks bad right here, but if I get up there and I look on down the road, things looks a little brighter. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by the culture we're living in. But child of God, if you'll just climb up in the tower a little bit, get a little further, look down the road and see how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now. All this is going to be over, and all this will be behind us. All the troubles and heartaches will no longer exist. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad we can change our outlook. There's been a few times I've been so overwhelmed with troubles and problems that I said, I got to do something to change my outlook. And I found out going to your place of prayer is the one remedy that'll help you. I don't know about you, but there's been times I've been so weighed down by situations of life that I felt like I couldn't live. But something happens when you go into the throne room of a holy God and you find yourself in the presence of God, all of those problems seem to fade away. I was telling a young preacher today about my friend, Brother Charles Worley, who's in heaven. I helped preach his funeral this year. And Brother Charles's wife, Miss Frances, was there, and I'd heard Brother Charles for years. He had some quotes that would just blow your mind, some things he'd say, but he often would reference his wife and stuff that she had said to him. And he told this one story that just resonated in my heart so. And he said, Charles told me, he said, you know, I was always the worrier. He pastored for 40 some years down there at Providence Road. And he said, but stuff would be going on in the church and people be getting out of whack. And he said, I'd worry myself to death over it. He said, I'd go to bed at night and I'd roll in the bed, said I couldn't sleep. I'd toss and turn, just lay awake at night, and said, my wife, she could go to sleep, but I couldn't. He said, it would just wear me out. If something was going on, I couldn't fix it. He said, I'd just worry myself to death about it. And he said, one night, it was such a time as that. He said, I was wore slap out and I'd rolled in the bed and couldn't sleep, and said that night I'd roll so much that I'd woke Francis up. And said, laying there in the dark, he said, I've got all these problems on my mind. Said, all of a sudden, I heard my wife say this, Charles, we're going to have to quit acting like we don't have no God. I thought to myself, guilty. How many times when problems overcome us and overwhelm us, do we get to acting like we don't have a God? But I'm glad tonight. I don't know what your problems are, how high they may be, what the mountain is that you've got to climb. I don't know what the battle is you're fighting tonight, but we have a God tonight, and he's on his throne. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he'll help his people in the midst of the struggle. You can learn to change your outlook. Get up in the tower. It looks a little different. I found this. I'd be overwhelmed. Matter of fact, that song I wrote, Bring It All to Him, I wrote that song on a Saturday, overloaded, burdened down, mentally a basket case, till I finally went to my place of prayer. Rung out. I said, God, what are you going to do about all this? He said, are you done now? This is what you should have done all along. He said, you should have brought it all to me. I went into the house that day and wrote that song, Bring It all to him. I'm glad you can change your outlook if you learn how to get up in the tower. You can see farther down the road. Oh, if you're gonna make it through waiting on God to move, you gotta have to learn how to change your outlook. Number two, while you're waiting on God to move, don't get discouraged when the answer is not imminent. Now, I don't know about you, but I like when I pray and God answers it immediately. And I'm not the only one that feels that way either. But God don't always work on my timetable. Matter of fact, sometimes God's ways are slower than what I wish they were. There's times I've prayed and God's answered instantaneously on something. And then there's things I've been praying for years that God still hadn't given me an answer on. But I've thought about this. Sometimes we get wearied in that. Habakkuk said this. He said, I'm going to stand upon my watch. But he didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to set me in the tower. Habakkuk is saying basically this. There are limits. We all have limits to how long we can stand. I've seen these where they'd be having one of these contests at a car dealership, or they're going to doing a promotional try to gin up interest, and they'll say, we're going to give this automobile away, and we're going to pick out 10 contestants, and you get a chance. You can put your hand on this car, and whoever's left standing, however long it takes, the last one left standing wins the car. Have y'all ever seen anything of some of those contests that they do? And you know what? I've seen them crazy things, and it'd be 24 hours, even 48 hours, and they're dropping like flies all around it. Finally, there's one that tough through and held on during the whole duration. But you see, if I told you tonight, said, now we're going to start a standing contest here tonight, and we are everyone going to stand up, and the last one that's left standing, when everybody else has had to already sit down, lay down, whatever, the last one standing wins $1,000. Now, if we started that contest tonight, there's some of you in here, I believe I could outlast you. But there's a lot of you in here that would outlast me. Because there's limits physically to what we can do. You can stand for a while and you get weary and you get tired. And you've reached the limitations of what your flesh can do. But Habakkuk's saying this. He said, I may get tired and I may get weary waiting on God to speak. But he said, if I can't stand, I'll just sit down. And I'll just find me a place. In other words, he's saying, I'm in this for the duration. I didn't get in this thing to bail out. I'm here to wait to see what God's going to do. I'm going to tell you, if our family's ever needed anything in these days, is somebody that's invested in staying the course and staying where God wants them to stay and being in that tower, hallelujah, however long it takes to see God speak and God to move. I heard Brother Brian McBride, tremendous evangelist, he told this story. I may have even told it here, but I'll tell it again. He said he was in Indiana helping ordain a young preacher. And this young preacher's dad was the pastor of the church that he was in. This young man was getting ready to take a church himself. And prior to his dad pastoring the church, his grandfather pastored the church. So it was a legacy of a family that had pastored this church. He said that night we were questioning the young man, had him in the back room and had several other preachers there, and said, well, finally, we're getting ready to go out into the ordination service. And he said that the young man's father stood up and he looked at all the preachers and said, now, men, I want all of you tonight, I want you to come around. And most of you are pastors, said, I want you to come around and give this man, young man, one piece of advice you'd give him as a young preacher heading out into a pastorate. And he said that night, this pastor called on his father, which was the grandfather of this child. The aged man of God got up first. And he said that old preacher on a cane said he walked over to where his grandson was. He leaned down and he looked at him. This is what he said. Give God time to work. And he said that's all he said. And he said after he said that, nobody else needed to say anything else. I wish when I was a young preacher that somebody had looked at me and said, give God time to work. Because there's been a lot of times God wasn't working on my schedule and I tried to do his work for me. And it never works out when that happens. But can I say to you, it may take a while. You may be praying for somebody. You've been praying and praying and praying and you're weary and you're worn out. Just find you a place in the tower. Sit down and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be here till God speaks in this situation. Sometimes we get even praying for loved ones. I've got a first cousin, a lady by the name of Sandra. She's my first cousin. And Sandra, our lives hadn't been close throughout our adult years. As kids, we were around each other a whole lot. But our lives didn't intertwine much. But Sandra, the best way I could describe her, she was a hard person. You never saw Sandra with joy. You never saw her with a smile on her face. She was just always just gruff and Even when I'd see her as a cousin, and even though there was nothing between us, I just try to carry on a conversation. She was just short answers. And the reason she's like that, she's hard because she'd had it hard in life. Don't get too down on hard people because you don't know how hard they've had it in this old world. Some of them's hard because they've had a hard way to go in this life. If anything, they need the love that we can give them. But I always just tried to be kind to her, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. And there's a couple in my church that their sister's husband passed away over at the Butler area. Johnny Ray had passed away, and they were having the going to have a graveside service over in Butler Cemetery. And so I said, I'm going to go. I knew the family, and of course, a lot of the family connected in my church. So I went to this graveside service at the first of the year. It was a nice day, and we were gathered there in the cemetery waiting on the graveside service to start. People are milling around, and the couple out of my church was standing right here on this side, and there was a lady standing on this side of me. And I was talking to the couple from my church, and all of a sudden, the lady from my church, she looked at me and nodded her head, and she pointed to the lady next to me and pointed to her. And I looked, and I couldn't tell who it was. The way she was standing, I couldn't see her good. And I turned to this lady. I said, who is it? And she said, it's your cousin Sandra. And it was my cousin Sandra. She was standing right over to the side of me here, and I didn't recognize her. I hadn't seen her in so long. And when she told me that, I walked over to where my cousin's, I'm talking about this hard person now. I walked over and I got right in front of her and I looked at her and I said, Sandra, I didn't even know you. I hadn't seen you in so long. And she looked at me and just in a minute she said, why, Leonard, I didn't know you. I hadn't seen you in so long. And the next words out of her mouth, with tears filling her eyes, she said, Leonard, I got saved. I got saved. I got saved. She just kept saying that. Leonard, I got saved. I got saved. And she's weeping and I'm weeping and I'm standing there. I said, Sandra, you couldn't tell me anything that'd make me any happier. And she stood there weeping and I'm weeping and I'm standing there thinking, Lord, for this. And she said, Leonard, she said, I got saved and I can't stop crying. She said, matter of fact, she said, if I'd have known it felt this good, I'd have done it a long time ago, she said. I got news for you. There's been a lot of times we would have given up on her and said, you know what, she's getting up in years. Nothing will ever happen. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God. Just find you a place. If you can't stand, just get in the tower, sit down, and wait on God to see what he's going to say. Amen. Oh, just remember this. Learn how to change your outlook. Don't get discouraged if the answer is not imminent. And then number three, leave an entrance for the purposes of God. In the days of the tower, especially on the walled cities, most of the time those in the tower had control over the gate. They would see friendly forces coming, maybe people bringing needed supplies, and they'd say, open the gate. Of course, they would open the gate and allow entrance into the walled city. But there's occasions they would look out and they would see an advancing enemy and they would not open the gate. They'd say, prepare for battle, prepare to defend. And so those who were in the tower had control over the gate. This is where I really want to speak to you tonight on this, is this. Sometimes when things come our way that don't really look like something we want, we're awful bad to say, I can't open the gate for that, Lord. Now, if it's something that's going to be a blessing and something that's going to, that we can rejoice about, open the gate. Yes, yes, yes. Bring that on in. But you see, sometimes God brings things to our gate that don't always look like it's going to be good for us. Matter of fact, God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And there's been times that God has brought, sometimes God has marshaled the forces of heaven. I didn't think he was doing anything. You'd look on the horizon, you couldn't see nothing, but just on the other side of the hill, you had no idea the activity that was going on the other side of the mountain. That's why some of you right now, you're sitting here discouraged tonight. You can't see on the other side of the ridge. God may already be pulling the things together to send them your way, to give you the answer you've been praying for and looking for. And let me tell you something, but when it comes, it may not look like something at the moment that's going to be good for you. But I found this to be true, that all things work together for good. And that means all things. What if God brings a bad doctor report to your gate? Say, God, I can't receive that. I can't accept that. That's for somebody else. What if God brings one of your family members, a situation of life where the home is broken and just brokenness everywhere. God, I can't accept that. Well, I tell you, I've had some situations in my own life, my family faced, that things came to my gate. And I said, no, that's not for us. No. And I kept the gate closed, all the while praying that God would take what was waiting at the gate away. And for 2 years I prayed, God, change this. God, fix this. God, I can't do this, God. And for 2 years I kept the gate closed. But after 2 years, I was so worn down physically and mentally that I said, I can't live like this. And I'm going to tell you when I got victory. I'm going to tell you when victory came. Something that I had resisted for 2 years, that I can't accept that, God. I finally said, open the gate. And when it came in, it still hurt. It still brought pain. Sometimes to this day it still does. But in the middle of all of it, I've got a boatload of victory. I wrote that little song right now. Matter of fact, the Joy Heirs have just recorded this song. The Powell sisters out of Louisiana have recorded this song. When I can't thank Him for the answer, I'll thank Him for the grace. There are many days that I have prayed through my trials here, waiting for an answer, hoping through my tears. But in my disappointment, Lord, I could not see Your face. I couldn't thank You for the answer. But Lord, I'll thank You for the grace. I'll thank You for the grace You give just to go another mile. I'll thank You for the strength I feel as I face this bitter trial. And though this valley seems so long that I'll never leave this place, when I can thank You for the answer, Lord, I'll thank You for the grace. I'm glad that there is grace when You're willing to say, Lord, I'm opening the gate. Not my will, but Your will be done. And I found this, even though there may be hurt, there may be pain, there may be disappointment, there'll be grace that abounds in your life. The Bible tells us where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. If you've got troubles that's come to your gate, and you open the gate, you got troubles that high, when you open the gate, grace will be this high. Hallelujah. I'm glad Habakkuk, he said, you know what? He said, Lord, in chapter 3, he said, I've decided just whatever You bring, Your judgment's coming. I know it's coming, but Lord, in the middle of it, will You send revival to us? Lord, in the middle of all this chaos and all the pain You're going to bring, Lord, would You remember Your people? And will You revive the work in the midst of the years? Father, I thank You for what You've done. Sister, come tonight if you will. Lord, I thank You for this people. Lord, I thank You for how easy they are to preach to. And Lord, I pray that You'd take this message now to someone that may be here tonight. Lord, they've been weary and waiting. Lord, there may be somebody tonight that just needs to learn how to change their outlook. Lord, they've been overwhelmed by the problem. They've been overwhelmed by the situation. But Lord, would You help them just to climb up in the tower? And Lord, when they get weary and they can't stand any longer, Lord, just help them find a place and sit there. Lord, keep their eyes on the horizon, knowing that You're the God that works behind the scenes in areas that we cannot see. And God, I ask You now, would You just touch each heart tonight? Lord, whatever the burden might be on this final night of the meeting, I pray, would You help us now, God, in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight. If you've got a burden tonight you need to bring to Him, it might be you need to climb up in the tower tonight. Is there somebody on your heart tonight or something? You say, preacher, I sure do need to change my outlook. Preacher, I stay discouraged. I stay overwhelmed. I feel like I can't change things. I can't do anything about it. But preacher, what I can do is I can change how I'm looking at it. And I'm going to find me a place. I'm going to elevate my vision. I'm going to elevate my walk. And I'm going to find a place in the tower. And I'm going to go to the throne room of God. And I'm going to take my burdens there. And I'm going to wait to see what God has to say. I wonder, would there be somebody else? You say, preacher, I've prayed a long time. I've gotten weary. Well, don't give up tonight, because the answer may not be imminent, but there's going to come a day when you're going to see something on the horizon come in your direction. And God's bringing an answer, and God's bringing something to help you. And all, just hang on, child of God. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just stay true to God and do what God would have you to do. Then tonight there may be somebody here. You say, preacher, I just need God to send a little reviving to me. I need God to help me, preacher. Would there be somebody else tonight? waiting just a moment. Is there somebody you say, I haven't come to the altar, preacher, but I do need prayer. Would you pray for me? Would there be somebody, lift your hand tonight anywhere in the building, say, pray for me, preacher. Anybody waiting just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you've helped us. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God and how it strengthens us and encourages us. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd bless these people, Lord, this good church and this good pastor. Lord, those who labor here in this work, I pray, would you bless them in a special way? And Father, whenever you bring something to our gate, God, we know you didn't bring it to hurt us. But Lord, you bring it to us to help us, to grow us, to mold us more into your image. And Father, I pray, would you just help us by your good grace? Lord, that we wouldn't keep the gate closed, but Lord, we'd receive what you bring in our life. And Lord, that you allow in our life. And God, may we use it for your glory and your honor. And Father, I ask you now just to meet every need, God, that we have in these dark days that we live in. And Father, we're going to give you praise and thank you for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Preacher, you come tonight as you see fit. Take charge of the meeting tonight.